This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum everyone. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salatu was-salam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. So I feel actually a huge burden on my shoulders to be speaking about such an important topic at such a pivotal time. And so I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow me to say some words of benefit, inshallah, in this short time. But the first thing I want to remind everyone, including myself, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us at the very beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. So in these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. So he begins with Alif Lam Mim. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That in this book, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ, there is no doubt in this book, in this revelation, in this Quran, هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, that there it is a guidance for the people of God consciousness. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to describe who are these people of God consciousness. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. The very first description of these people who will be able to get guidance from this book that is without a shadow of a doubt a source of light and guidance. And he says, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in the unseen. And so I want to begin with this, because we cannot be successful in this short, temporary, often painful, deceptive life unless we are people who believe in the unseen. We cannot be a people who are deceived by what we see without also believing in what we don't see. Now, as we know, we live in a dunya. We live in a temporary part of our existence called dunya, which by definition, the word itself means the lesser, lower life. Hayat dunya means the lower life. The word dunya, dani, is that which is lower. So we know that right now we are in the lower part of our existence, the lower life, and that there is a higher life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the hereafter as the real life. Al hayawan, this is the exaggerated form of the word life, that is the real life, that we are now in the lesser life. And this is a temporary part of our existence. Now, within this lesser life, we know that there are going to be parts that are unseen, that there are going to be aspects of this life that we see and we experience in the physical world. And then there are going to be aspects of this life that are unseen, and they are happening at the same time. They are simultaneous. Now, as believers, as human beings, we absolutely will not be able to survive, let alone thrive, in this life, in this deceptive temporary life, unless we believe in what we cannot see just as much and maybe more than what we can see. So I want to begin with that premise, because this is the foundation of being successful in this life. And this is what Allah tells us in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. We have to be a people who believe in the unseen. And we are reminded of the unseen when we become distracted by the seen world. Now, having said that, within these two simultaneous worlds that are existing, there is the seen world and there is the unseen world. Now, within those two worlds, we have responsibilities. We will be asked about. We have responsibilities in the seen world, and we have responsibilities in the unseen world. In other words, we have a ibadah, a worship of the body. These are our actions, these are our deeds. And then there is a worship of the heart, of the spiritual obligations. Okay, so there is ibadah of the body and there is ibadah of the heart. Now, what is happening right now is that we are witnessing a genocide in Gaza. We are witnessing in real time the types of things that you know, maybe we read about in history books. We are witnessing it. We're living in that time now. We know many of the numbers that are coming out, almost 2,000 children killed, massacred in Gaza, that the aid is blocked, that this isn't just about, you know, a nation defending themselves, which, by the way, is contradictory to the definition of being an occupier. You can't be a military occupier and then say you're defending yourself. And so there is, of course, there's this flipping of the narrative, which is completely nonsensical. And we are viewing, we are witnessing that. We are witnessing the cutoff of water, the cutoff of all humanitarian aid, electricity, fuel, to the extent that we're seeing footage of surgeries being done, with the light from a phone. I heard about a surgery that was done, a catastrophic surgery done with no anesthesia, that these are the types of conditions that are happening in the seen world that we are witnessing. We are witnessing it in real time. And so within that, that aspect of what we are witnessing, there is an obligation on every single one of us. Now, very simply put, what is that obligation? The Prophet ﷺ told us what that obligation is. He says that if you see an evil, you must try to change it with your hand. This is referring to taking action to try to stop that evil, to try to stop that oppression. He said, if you cannot, then try to change it with your tongue. This means speaking out against it. This is speaking truth to power. This is magnifying the voices of the oppressed. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ says as part of our obligation. And then he says, and if you cannot, then at least hate it in your heart. And this is the weakest of faith. So what we learn from this hadith is that as a deen, we cannot be passive. As believers, we cannot be passive in the face of oppression, and we cannot be passive in the face of abuse in any way, whether that is happening in our own homes, as I go around the world speaking about, or that is happening on a global level. We cannot be quiet about oppression. And so one of our obligations within the seen world is to continue to take action to try to stop that oppression. And that at the very, when we talk about, there's a lot of discussion about who's being vocal, who's not being vocal, why aren't we being vocal enough? But what I want to remind every single one of you is that we do have an obligation to do something. We have an obligation by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take some action when we see an evil happening. And we are seeing an evil happening. We are seeing a genocide happening in real time. There is no, there's no doubt about that. There is no doubt about that. Now, the question now is that while we are witnessing this in the seen world, and we have an obligation in the seen world, there is also a simultaneous unseen world that is happening. And this we must not ignore. And I will tell you this, if we ignore that, if we ignore the worship of the heart, if we ignore the unseen reality, and we spend too long focusing on the seen reality, which is very real, we will fall into despair. This is the root cause of despair. This is why we burn out. This is why we can eventually become desensitized, is if we're only looking at the deaths. We're only looking at the evil and the injustice that is happening, but we do not simultaneously see the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do not simultaneously see how Allah is showing us his signs at the same time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna ma'al usri yusra." Allah says, with the hardship is ease. And so we have to believe Allah's words, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the success is always for the believer, that the believer is always going to win, that faith is always going to be superior to evil, that good always wins, we have to believe that. We have to have firm faith in that. So what is our job from the unseen world? What is our job? What is the worship of the heart? Number one is recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that's happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those people in Gaza. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when a person dies as a martyr, and these are martyrs, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect them and to protect their families and to envelop them in his mercy, because what they are going through right now is something that no human being could handle without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What we are witnessing with our eyes, not only is this genocide in the external world, but we are also recognizing the nasr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is another question that a lot of people get to a point where they ask, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, that do you think, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَنْ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Do you think that you will enter paradise without going through what those who came before you went through? مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا. That they went through adversity and hardship and they were shaken. Shaken like an earthquake. وَزُلْزِلُوا. Same root word as earthquake here. حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. They were so shaken until even the messengers and those with the messengers are calling out, when will the help of God come? أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Allah says, indeed, the help of God is near. And so I want to just for a moment talk about what is the nasr of Allah? What is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When we learn about the story of the people of the ditch who were massacred for their faith, or we learn about the story about the hairdresser of the house of Pharaoh, who when they found out that she believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she believed and submitted to a Lord other than Pharaoh, Pharaoh actually took her. And he made this huge reservoir that he filled up with boiling oil. And he took all of her children one by one in front of her eyes and put them in that oil. And she had to watch her children die in that way until he got to her fifth child who was in her arms. And this was a baby. And she was about to pull back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her child speak. And he made her child say to her, to have patience, that Allah made this miracle happen to keep her feet firm. Now, my question to you is, after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he kept her feet firm. After that, that baby was martyred and that woman was martyred. So five children and that woman were all martyred. Now, my question to you is, where was the nasr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You might look at that situation and say, but where was the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he kept her miraculously. He kept her feet firm. This is called istiqama. Istiqama and sabr. Istiqama and sabr, especially in the face of a tsunami, is the nasr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I want to, inshallah, wrap up with this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, he promises us victory, that the believers and that faith always wins. And he also promises that he will be with the believers. And so what we are witnessing, not only in the seen world, but in the unseen world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with them. I can tell you that people are starting to see this, and it is actually mind-blowing to see the miracle of their sabr and the miracle of their istiqama, because that's Allah holding them up. And I can tell you this, you know, we all heard about this tragedy of the little boy, 6-year-old boy, who was stabbed 26 times in Chicago by a man who was, you know, he was screaming, you know, about how Muslims should die. And so this was, by the way, and I want to make this very clear, this is a result of the absolutely criminal propaganda machine that we are viewing, that we are witnessing around us. Absolutely criminal propaganda machine coming out of CNN, BBC, ABC, all of the major news agencies. This man came and stabbed this child 26 times, a 6-year-old boy. But what really, really blew me away, and I totally broke down when I saw this, is after he was stabbed 26 times, he said to his mother, "Mama, I'm fine." If we don't think that that is the help of Allah, then we're not paying attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of these children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of these men, women, and children who are undergoing this genocide. So while we are acting with our bodies and with our words and with our actions to put an end and to take action against oppression, we have to at the same time make sure that our hearts are looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that our hearts are seeing Allah, and our hearts are seeing La ilaha illallah in everything that's happening, because Allah is taking care of them. Allah took care of that child. Who says I'm fine after being stabbed 26 times? Allah took care of him. And Allah is taking, just as Allah made that child speak to the hairdresser of Pharaoh, just as Allah made Asiya, when she was being tortured, he showed her her home in paradise, so she smiled. So in the physical world, she's being killed. In the physical world, she's being tortured. But in the real world, in the unseen, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in the unseen, that has to be firm in our hearts, that in the unseen, Allah was taking her home, to her home in paradise. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the people of Gaza and Palestine and all of our brothers and sisters. And we ask that this become a reminder for the ummah and a wake-up call for the ummah to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to understand the reality of this life and to do our part, inshallah. قُلِي قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفَرَ اللَّهِ وَلَكُمْ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُ بِحَمْدَكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.